The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
And welcome back inside the Groundworks downtown studio. My name is Matty Rose, taking you all the way through your post-game show tonight. But we do go back to Crypto.com Arena for just a couple of quick thoughts with our guy, Pat Steinberg, before he rips downstairs to grab us some post-game audio. And Pat, you can't really end the season much better than that. The rookies were a lot of fun to watch. They all showed out. We had some goals for Zane Parekh, kind of how you'd expect. For some reason, up by the hash marks, tipping one home. Sam Morton, fourth line, grinding it out, just kind of lofting one over David Rittich, and Nazem Kadri gets a couple, and a snipe show from Michael Backlund. But just overall thoughts on how the kids played in this one tonight.
Yeah, it was great, Matty. A 5-1 win, and I thought that they, I thought that all four showed pretty well. I thought Parekh was clearly the most dynamic of the five, scores the goal, you're right. But you know what? That's what he does. He's a rover in the offensive zone, and we saw it even at the NHL level, roving around and still finding his way back into defensive position, and that's how he scores his first NHL goal. What a nice drive to the net, and just getting a stick on it with Sam Morton. Not only his first NHL goal, but it's the game winner too, and I just love the celebrations on the ice and on the bench, seeing this Flames team react to these guys scoring. That was great to see. And let's be honest, Prestevich, I thought he held his own in this game. I thought Suniev was especially in the first period and a bit really strong and had some good opportunities tonight. So lots to like, Matty. And I think for game 82, when you're seeing four players debut like this, that's exactly what you want to see. First time ever the Flames have had two guys making their debut score in the same game. It was pretty special to see, and a really solid performance to wrap up the year for the Flames.
Well, and Derek mentioned it. They're the highest scoring team to ever miss the postseason in NHL history, so it's disappointing for sure. But on the same token, it was a lot of fun tonight's game. The vibe was good. Like I said it in the second intermission, but it kind of felt like a lot of the conversations after the whistle was like watching two guys at first base after someone hits a single. Like there was a little bit of a vibe here as both teams were kind of, you know, the Kings were getting ready for the playoffs, the Flames are just trying to end their season, but you can tell just how close this group was based on kind of the vibes you were seeing, not only during the game, but after whistles and everything else around it.
Yeah, it was, and I think they really made a point. I mean, Blake Coleman told us after Game 81 that the group came together after the second intermission, right near the end. We're like, hey, that was a gut punch, but let's come together, come out flying. And they came back and won that game, and I think that was the same attitude they had tonight going into this one. It was I know they scored five, which is not pretty flamesy this year, but you know, I think the way they played was very indicative of the way they played all year, and I give them a lot of credit for going out with a bang. And I know that 96 points missing the playoffs is a real kick in the stomach, but I'm actually really impressed with how they were able to keep their brand of hockey all year long and finish off with a game they can be proud of. And let's see how they carry this into next year now, Matty. And if this is something that, you know, we've talked a lot about the culture and the foundation that they've built, and now they get to prove to us that it will carry over into next year.
And they stay undefeated when they score four or more goals. They only did
it in
20% of the games this year, but nevertheless, a very impressive mark. Let's get to your hardest working Flame tonight, Pat.
A lot of choices. I'm going to go Michael Backlund because Naz was the first star. Zane Parekh's on that. I just thought Michael Backlund in that line had a really hard-working game. Backlund finishes with the primary assist on the Zane Parekh goal. Then he scores about 3 minutes later to turn this into a blowout at 5-0. And I just thought, you know, matched up against Kopitar all night, was really cool to see the two captains go head-to-head with how similar their games are. And I just thought it was a neat night. And I ran into Michael yesterday, and he's pretty devastated with the fact that this team missed the playoffs, but really wanted to go out and finish strong. And he said, you know what, I want to finish strong because there's four guys making their debuts. We owe that to them to make it a special night. And I thought that Michael and Nazem Kadri and Blake Coleman and Mackenzie Weegar all did their part. I just thought it was a really nice night for Michael Backlund. So I'll go with him as the hardest working Flame tonight.
I would also tip my hat to Dan Vladar, who went 5-1, but he made some spectacular saves throughout the course of this game, and he hadn't played for quite some time either. Okay, pal, thanks so much. Enjoy the ride home, and we will talk to you soon. You've done a great job on Flames radio all season long, and I know a lot of the listeners are going to miss having you in the postgame show here tonight, but enjoy the ride home, pal. Appreciate
it. Matty, you'll kill it, and go Hitman tomorrow.
Go Hitman. Big one tomorrow.
Bye, buddy.
Game 5. Oh, can't wait. All right. That is Pat Steinberg signing off from Crypto.com Arena as he heads down to the locker room to get us some post-game audio. We will be getting you some Ryan Huska a little bit later on. We will be getting you probably some of the players that scored tonight, some of the rookies that scored tonight, as they will all speak to the media, and we will effort to get you all of the chats that we can as we move through the rest of the post-game show. Before we take our break and before you start getting all queued up with your texts at 960-960 and your calls at 403-240-4444, do want to check in on the marquee matchup. And today's marquee matchup was in relation to the four young players who were all making their NHL debuts. Sam Morton, Zane Parekh, Hunter Brustevich, Idar Suneyev all started their NHL careers in this game here tonight, and it was pretty special to see. And I thought they all held their own, to say the least. Look at some numbers here for all four of them. Suneyev ends up +2, skated just under 15 minutes of ice time. He had a shot on net, another shot that was blocked, and was credited with one takeaway. I agree with Pat. I thought his best play came in the first period. He was maybe the one that looked a little tentative out of the four. We also saw Sam Morton get his first NHL goal. By the way, if you were watching this game on TV, you would have seen the reaction from his family, and it was one of those things that just warms your heart. He ends up +1, finishes the great pass from Ryan Lomberg and Dryden Hunt. 12:25 for Sam Morton, skated in this one. He has one shot on goal that finds the back of the net, a couple of shots that missed the net, and also had four shots. Four hits, one blocked shot, and won 4 of his 7 faceoffs, and was in the negative after 40 minutes play. So good to see him win a few faceoffs in the third period there and get above 50%. Hunter Brustevich made his NHL debut. He was +2, took one penalty. He skated 18-23 on the back end, a couple of shots on net, threw a hit, had a giveaway, had a takeaway as well, and then Zane Parekh, +3 in this game. Him and Kevin Ball both end up +3. That'll help out for old Kevin Ball when that final stat line gets printed out. Zane Parekh gets a goal. He skates 20-31, 27 shifts, 2 shots on net, 1 shot that was blocked. Also had a hit, had a giveaway, and had a blocked shot as the four players made their NHL debuts. That is the marquee matchup. It's brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. Your Toyota giant is pulling out all the stops with the best inventory, the best pricing, and the best trade-in values of the year. Get in and go at the giant Country Hills Toyota. So we will take a break around the corner. We'll bring you the save of the game. We'll have some post-game audio, and I want to hear from you. Give us a call at 403-240-4444. You can text us at 960-960. I don't have to work tomorrow morning. The boys are going to do Big Show with Russick and Rose without me. So let's go. However late you guys want to go, we can let her rip here tonight, and we'll have some fun with it as well. Game 82 is in the books. The Calgary Flames take a 5-1 victory. That marquee matchup was brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We'll take a break and continue with the post-game show next. It's Flames Talk post-game on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is the Flames Talk post-game show. No Pat Steinberg tonight. I know you're all very disappointed. My name is Matty Rose, and very happy to be wrapping up the season with you as the Calgary Flames do take a 5-1 victory down at Crypto.com Arena. The final game of the regular season, the Flames were a part of it. It didn't mean anything for the standings, but we did see the debuts of four young players for the Calgary Flames, and some great debuts, to say the least. A couple of stats I wanted to throw your way just before we get into our save of the game and some post-game audio and your calls and your texts. But Sam Morton scored his first NHL goal in his NHL debut. He's the 5th Flames player in the past 10 years to do so. Martin Pospisil, Connor Zary, Patrick Seeloff, and Josh Juris all did it. Zane Parekh would do it a little bit later on in the game, and Morton and Parekh became the first pair of Flames teammates to each score in their NHL debut during the same contest. And this one from Sportsnet Stats, they are the first teammates to score in their NHL debut since the Hurricanes' Mike Zygomanis and Thomas Kurka in February 26, 2003 against the then Phoenix Coyotes. So pretty impressive to have two players making their NHL debut and both of them finding the back of the net. Zane Parekh, with his goal, he becomes the sixth youngest player in Flames history at the time of his first NHL goal at 19 years old and 61 days. He's also the sixth youngest defenseman in NHL history to score in his NHL debut, behind Scott Stevens, Jason Doig, Ray Bourque, Jamie Drysdale, and Rick Lands. So there's some pretty good defensemen in there as well. A couple of stats from earlier today. Wanted to get to our save of the game, as Dan Vladar, man, he was really good in this game. It kind of gets overshadowed because the Flames do end up winning by a 5-1 score, but he stops 30 of 31 in the victory, and the save of the game for Dan Vladar came back in period number one.
Flames trying to hold it in. Sinian does and takes a big hit along the near boards from Ward as two guys making their NHL debuts collide there. Comes Hellenius, he had a nice move. Hellenius centers it, Ward to the backhand. Robbed by Vladar, who makes a spectacular right pad save.
The save of the game is brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com. The better way to build. That is one of 30 stops that Dan Vladar made. Getting between the pipes for the final time of the regular season. He is a UFA, so perhaps even the final time as a member of the Calgary Flames. But as Mackenzie Weegar likes to say, he was kicking it back there between the pipes, and that was great to see. We are taking your texts and your phone calls. 403-240-4444 is the number to call, and the lines are jammed. But real quickly, I do want to get you a little bit of post-game audio before we dive into all of your thoughts. And it's brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furniture with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats, indoor air quality solutions, financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Let's hear from the head coach as Ryan Huskis spoke post-game.
Husk, what's your takeaway on a night tonight that kind of brings the season to a close, but there are some real special positives too?
Yeah, I mean, well, there were a lot tonight. We had like Naz, 35 goals, Bax ties Lanny, which is a huge thing because Lanny's the most decorative, influential Flame. The two young guys score their first goals for us, and we found a way to win again, which we've done a lot over the last little while. It's just a little bit unfortunate that we're done now. We're 96 points usually gets you in, and unfortunately for us this year it didn't.
Can I ask, maybe take us inside that locker room, if you shared a message with your team, and if so, maybe a glimpse of what it was
afterwards?
Yeah,
I was just congratulated the four guys, really, and a lot of exciting times today with families in town. Four young guys get the chance to play their first NHL game. It's neat to see the smiles on their faces, and even neater to see a couple of them get to score and have opportunities in this game. I thought they all did a really good job for us playing their first game, and they were factors in our win today.
You mentioned the leaders this morning and how important they are on a night like this too. I mean, Naz gets two, and Michael's right there as well. I mean, what did you make of the way that they, you know, had that presence today?
I thought they were excellent. I mean, the games were out, and yesterday I would say was a tough day. Like, it felt like a gut punch for us that we were officially out. So you don't really know how they're going to respond today. And a lot of that falls on the leader's shoulders to make sure that the team continues to play the way we know how to play, or we've learned how to play this year. Because if they're not into it the way they were tonight, the game doesn't go the way it does. It probably goes the other direction on us. So I think we've had a great season of guys stepping up for us in the leadership category, and Michael's front and center at that, but he brought the other guys along with him, and in turn, they pulled everybody else in the same direction as well, which was great for us.
Without going through every NHL debut tonight, just what did you make of the poise and just in an opportunity to get your first game and how they handled it?
I thought they all handled it really well. The one thing that stood out for me is the way they moved the puck all for them. I thought they did a really good job of moving it quickly and clean. The game didn't look too big or too much for them, which was nice to see. And as I said, I thought all four of them had impact on tonight's game.
Thanks, Huska.
Thank you, guys.
That's Ryan Huska from the Flames dressing room. We'll check in with Sam Morton and Zane Parayk, who both scored their first NHL goals of the season as well. A couple of texts before we hit the phone lines. This from Scotty out in BC. What a fitting end to the season. Morton and Parayk with their first NHL goals in the first NHL games. Pretty amazing to see. Vladar with an amazing performance and almost a shutout. I hope he stays, because then we'd have a killer tandem next year. Kadri adding to his best season. 35 goals on the year is impressive. Summary: I had a hell of a time watching this team all year. I'm sad we missed the playoffs, but I'm extremely excited for the next few years of Flames hockey. Hubie is looking like himself again. Our leadership group is doing a fantastic job, and our young studs are looking phenomenal. Good job to Huska and Conroy on putting this group together. Have a great offseason and summer. Thanks for all you do. Talk with you in October. That is Scotty in Victoria. This one from Steve in Zurich, Ontario. Stayed up for this game tonight. It was great to see the young kids get lots of ice time. Something to look forward to next year. And a big thanks to everyone at 960 and Sportsnet this year for all they do. Xavier, who is down in Jalisco, Mexico. Well, lucky. What a brag. Hey, Pat, I've only been able to listen to the last few games and not watch them, but I'm sure that I'm not the only one who thinks these guys had made this season feel like a roller coaster. Even when they're out of the playoffs, they pull their socks up and play like their life depends on it. A few milestones tonight and a great end of the season. Four-game winning streak will be a superb way to start next season. It is sad that we've only missed the playoffs by 1 point. How things could have looked had we won half of those OT losses after being ahead until the final few minutes of those games. Killer instinct. Giving up late goals are not fun and can be very demoralizing. If they want to have a long playoff appearance in the future, they need to buckle up, especially during the last 5 minutes of the game. Let's make hockey in Calgary great again. We need Yeah Babies back. Have a great offseason. Look forward to hearing you back on next year. Hasta la vista from Nuevo Vallarta. That one signed for Pat. Once again, Pat is getting on the bird. So I am Matty Rose, and I'm taking your calls and your texts for the rest of the night. Let's get to the phone line. Let's start it off with the guy who always bats lead off for us here on the Flames Talk post-game show. George joins the show. Good evening, George. Hello. Hi are you? How are you doing? It's been a while.
It's been a while, Matty. How have you been, my friend?
I've been very good, thank you.
Good, man. It's good to talk to you. It's final game of the year, and I just want to start off by saying and really stating how proud I am of this team this year for how hard they played this year, for how they persevered, for how much heart and character they showed all year. I mean, they far exceeded many people's expectations and did it with no disrespect, let's be honest, a mediocre roster compared to many teams. So, I mean, you got to give them credit. I don't care if your team tank or your team no tank. Like, it's very, very, very difficult not to cheer for these guys this year. And it sucks the way we missed the playoffs, you know, on a tiebreak. But, you know, a lot of that is due to some of the mistakes they made. And I go back to this, you know, the two-game series with St. Louis. I felt back then that would probably cost us the playoff spot if we missed. And sure enough, it probably did end up doing it, because you win one of those games and you're in right now. But it's what it is. You know, I'm really proud of the boys. They fought hard. You know, they built up really good culture. And that's pretty important too, you know, so... That's what I have to say about that part anyway, Matty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I agree, right? And you can look back at the regular season. There's a whole bunch of places that you can look and say, well, you should have had this one, you should have had this one. They didn't lose a whole lot of games against teams that were way below them in the standings, which was kind of a little different than some of the other years when they've ended up missing the playoffs. You think about the bubble year where they just couldn't solve Ottawa, or Chicago gave them trouble a couple of years ago when they were a terrible team. And like the Ducks game is another one that stands out, but yeah, it's tough to kind of be in this position with the way this group kind of came together over the course of the year. They were really easy to cheer for, right?
Extremely easy to cheer for. I mean, extremely easy. Yeah, man, it was honestly, I will say this, while it was a fun year with a disappointing ending for me anyway, this is a season I will personally never forget. And it's a season I really can't even compare to any other season. And I've been a Flames fan since the very, very beginning. I mean, since I was literally a three-year-old, right? So, you know, I remember, you know, being a 11-year-old kid when they won the Cup in 89. So, and I've gone through it all. The ups and downs, the Young Guns era, the Ginla era, the Goudreau era. Now we're here. And it's, you know, the seasons that stand out for me are obviously 89 for winning the Cup. And, you know, when they were an awesome team back in the 80s. Then 2004 obviously stands out. And then a decade ago, the Findaway Flames, as they were so eloquently termed, you know, that season stood out. But this year stands out for a much different reason, you know. And people make comparisons to the Findaway Flames of a decade ago, but it's different for me. It's not quite that. It was different. I don't know. It was that. See, that year seemed a lot more fluky. Whatever success they did have this year was not by fluke. It was by hard work and determination. And unfortunately, they had things going against them, like not having, you know, an adequate roster compared to the higher level teams, and they couldn't score goals this year. If those two things were even a little bit better, we're definitely in the playoffs right now, you know?
Yeah, 100%, right? And I think about when Dan Vladar talked about how this team just has a whole lot of heart, and that's how they kind of battle through in the tough times. And you know, this is a building block for them. Like, everyone thought this was going to be a team that's in the lottery, and the players refused to allow that to happen. And you just hope that they can continue to build, because you mentioned a whole bunch of eras, and you're looking at guys like Coronado and Zeri and Wolf that ideally can be part of that next era of Flames hockey, when they can be a team that is not only just getting to the playoffs, but being a team that perennially gets to the playoffs and can actually challenge for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, 100%. And then we're speaking about the youth movement. Tonight's the perfect night to have that conversation, yeah. Because got four rookies in there, you know. It was so fun to watch all four of them. All four of them stood out in positive reasons for me. Zane Parekh, though, he looks like he's going to be a player. I mean, he looks like he's going to be the real deal. He broke records in junior this year. It appears now that we have our goalie of the future, it appears that we have our defenseman of the future, right? Now we desperately need a number one center of the future, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm with you on Coronado. I think this guy can be a top line right winger. I really do. Suniev, I think, you know, too early to tell, but he's got the shot. He's got the size. I think Zeri can definitely be a real solid top six guy. So it's just that center, man. And that's the one part where it's like, you know, very likely the easiest way to get that person is to draft them and draft high. But if they don't do that, the scouting staff's got work to do, and they're going to have to hope they do it like the Dallas way, where they get a guy like that with a high first round pick or in a second round, you know. So, but they have to have that center, Maddie. I really believe that, because if they don't get that player, then it's going to be really tough for them to be a cup contender going down the road.
They're hard to find, right? And now you've got a goaltender that's going to make it really hard to be a team at the top of the lottery.
Absolutely, my man. I'll let you go, buddy. But before I do, I want to throw a quick couple of shout outs. Thank yous. I want to thank Azam first and foremost, and all the producers. But Azam, I've had an awesome time talking to him before I come on the air. He's such a good dude, and I wish him nothing but the best. I want to thank all the, you know, the OGs, new and old, you know, Robert, Eugenio, Evan, Wedley, Jose, Parsons, Anand, and a special note to Anand, man. I love what this kid is doing, hoping to get into broadcasting. I seriously wish him all the best, man. You speak about the Calgary Flames having drive. That kid has drive. I seriously hope the best for him. So, Anand, if you're listening, I wish you the best success, my friend.
I think he's
next.
You
know, everybody else, too many people to name. And then, you know, Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson for being the soundtrack to our Flames game. Such a phenomenal job, especially Megan, man. She went through so much this year, and she powered through it. She's been awesome. To my man, Pat Steinberg, buddy, this is year 12 for me on the post-game show, and I enjoy every minute of talking hockey with you, whether we agree or disagree or whatever. And I'm super happy he got the call to game tonight with Mr. Wills, and that guy just keeps leveling up every year. And then, Maddie, to you, man, so happy to see where you've come from, you know, meeting you almost a decade ago. To see where you've come, my man, you deserve everything that you've got. You deserve everything you got coming to you, my friend. And it was good to talk to you on the post-game show for the few times you've been on this year, man. And I hope you have an awesome summer, and I hope everything goes well for you, buddy. So thank you for having me on. And have a great one, my man.
Appreciate that, George, and you as well. I'm sure we'll hear from you in the preseason next year or game one, whenever Pat starts taking calls. I don't know. He's probably going to start doing it as soon as the preseason starts. Take care, George. Appreciate it.
You too, my man. You take care of yourself.
All right. He mentioned him. Anand is also on the line. Anand, how are you doing tonight, man? Appreciate you calling in and being a part of the Flames Talk postgame show. Anand, how's it going? Anand? I'm sure he'll call back. We'll go on to the next one here. Well, I'll read a quick text while Azam's answering the phone. Can you tell I only do this a few times a year? Okay, text from Murray. That was awesome. Young guys chipping in. This team should be proud. Played a hell of a season. They should have made it. Hope the Jets wipe them out with the Blues. Pat, got any picks for the finals? I'm going with Jets and Senators. Thanks again for the entertainment. All-Canadian final would be awesome. Cup needs to come back home. I really like the Lightning out east myself, and I think the Colorado Avalanche are another team. Them and the Vegas Golden Knights who are poised to get back to the Stanley Cup final. Azam, let's go to Jordan here on the phone lines if we could, as Jordan joins Flames Talk postgame. Jordan, how's it going, man? Thanks for calling.
Hey, Matty. You know, I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. No complaints.
Nice, nice. First off, I want to say I'm a huge fan of the Big Show. I just live out in a different time zone, and I'm never up early enough to watch it, so can't really text or call in there, but always listen to it on the podcast, and you guys seem to have such a great time in the morning there, so
I appreciate that.
Shout out to you for that.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Yeah. We definitely don't take ourselves too seriously, that's for sure.
No, it just seems like such a fun environment there. So that's lots of fun. Always look forward to waking up and throwing that on the Spotify. But moving on, kind of piggybacking off of what George was saying, just had so much fun watching this team all year. You know, they gave full effort, like day in and day out. And they really just wanted to put on good games for the fans, for themselves. They wanted to, obviously a super unfortunate ending, but it was just super fun being along for the ride. Can't complain. I mean, the future looks bright. I know Conroy's got kind of his plan in place here, so hoping they can just continue to build off of it.
Yeah, it was a fun year, right? Like, I thought this year might be a struggle. I thought the last month of the season, they might just be playing out the stretch, and instead they said, no, that's not how this is going to go, especially the group of six veterans. I guess seven, Ryan Lomberg probably deserves to be in there as well, that Ryan Huska has continued to mention. Anderson, Uyghur, Backlund, Coleman, Kadri, Huberdeau, and Ryan Lomberg, who really just kind of made it so that this team would not lose. And the rookies played extremely well, too.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, it was a mix of the leaders there and then the young guys doing amazing, like Coronado, Zeri when he was healthy, Ball stepping in and just being a great defenseman for us. Like, yeah, no, it's been sweet. And then just for this game itself, like, it was nice to watch it without stressing. But at the same time, like, of course, there's that factor that we weren't fighting for something, which is a bit unfortunate. But
yeah,
it was just fun to watch kind of the rookies get out there and do their thing a little bit. I thought they all looked really good. I mean, I know it's one game, but like, I didn't have a ton of, I never really watched Parekh over in Saginaw or anything, but holy, like, I'm excited. I know probably everyone's going to be talking about him, but he looks fun, and they're giving him big minutes in this game already. I hope that's consistent in the future, but he was so much fun to watch.
Well,
happy for him and Morton to get the first goals in.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I think the point was, right? You got ninth overall, and one of the things that was talked about in that last NHL draft was just a plethora of defensemen to kind of get people excited about, and I bet this team couldn't have been more excited when Zane Parekh was still available to them at nine, and then for him to go out and put up even better numbers in the OHL this year, the hype just continues to grow. I don't know if there's someone that the fan base has been as excited about, because I just don't remember a defenseman who kind of plays the way like he does that can kind of put up points. You know, you don't want to start making comparisons, but when you look around the NHL, there are exciting defensemen that lead their teams. And you think about, you know, Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, Zach Werenski this year had a great season. All of these guys, they can put up offense, but they can also play well on their own end, and they're the key cogs to their team. Like, the Flames really have built from the back out, and Parekh is a key part of that.
Yeah, and like, you know, a lot of people were worried about his defensive capabilities, and again, it's one game, but man, like, he's reading the plays so well. The way he even literally was his first shift, the 2-on-1, like,
yep. Like the thing about him, so we talked to Dave Drinkle, the general manager of the Saginaw Spirit on the Big Show. You might have heard that interview on the podcast, but One of the things that he mentioned, we were talking about how Zane checks. It's not necessarily, you know, physical, you know, finish out the angle, kill plays in the corner. Like, I'm sure he'll be able to do that as well, especially as he gets stronger. But one of the things that he does really well is he attacks with his stick off the rush, which allows him to kind of kill plays before they even start. And I thought we saw that a few times tonight.
Yeah, just the way that, like, he can use his stick is just just pretty incredible on both offense and defense. And then, yeah, moving on to some of the other guys, you know, Vladar, like, he was lights out. I was really, really hoping and rooting for that shutout in what could be, what I hope is not, but what could be his last game for the Flames. I don't know. I really hope they can find a way to keep him around, but I understand it's up to him and his camp. And I think he would have potential to play good amount of games for a team that needs a goalie, but we'll see kind of where they're at with that. But I'd hope to have him back as our two. I think that'd be great.
Well, apart from Anderson, right, that's kind of the more interest. That's the other interesting kind of transactional thing here. Like, A, they do have a lot of wingers, and I do wonder if there is a trade to be made there. And they're going to be trying to get a centerman, I'm sure. But at the same time, you know, Dan Vladar really played well as the backup to Dustin Wolf down the stretch in the second half of the season. And if he's okay with that being his role, then I think I would be totally fine with him coming back on something that's got, you know, shorter term and nothing too high on the AAV. But at the same time, we've seen other goalies get term and dollars out there. So that's going to be one of the more interesting ones as we creep towards the July 1st free agency.
Yeah, of course, of course. And I wouldn't blame him either way. But
exactly.
No, I thought that was a great game. And then finally, Kadri, not just this game, but this whole season, man. Like, the way that he has stepped up, I mean, it was career high in goals. Like, that's great. His leadership all year, like, he has just done such a great job, huge role with helping these young guys, like, when Coronado was on his line, or again, working with Huberto when they're paired together, they do well. Getting Klapka involved, like, man, they're just, Kadri's just been absolutely amazing for us this season.
Yeah, he was great, man. He scored, 35 goals, career high. Not a whole lot of guys in the NHL scored 35 goals, especially for him to have a career high at this point of his year. It's like, It's pretty impressive stuff, right? That puts him tied for 18th in the entire NHL. And for him to have a year like that in a season where everyone thought it wasn't going to go well, and to really be a leader, like, we had seen it the year before playing with Zary and Pospisil and kind of bringing them along, but this was a little bit different. And once he started playing well with Huberto, they just took off, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah. No, it was great. But yeah, I think that's all I got from the game. Just want to give a quick shout out again to the whole broadcast crew, all the producers, you know, you, Pat, Logo, whoever's on there, Vickers, Wes, Derek Wills, Megan Mickelson, like, everyone who's just involved there. You guys do great work. And hey, even you on the Hitman games, I always look forward to listening to those.
Big one tomorrow. Game 5. We got pregame at 6. It's a best of 3 now.
I'll be listening. Don't even worry. My mom's from Lethbridge. Don't know where her got a lot of friends and family down there. Don't know where their loyalties lie, but you know, we'll be keeping on the Hitman train, hoping for the best. So anyways, look forward to the pregame tomorrow.
Thanks, Jordan. Have a great night, man.
Hey, you too.
There you go. That's Jordan calling in for the Flames Talk postgame show. Really wanted to read a couple more texts here. Tim and Hillhurst, a great season for the Flames. They exceeded all expectations. Long term, it is positive that they didn't make the playoffs this season. They emptied the tank, which means they would have been tired and instantly crushed in the first round. Instead, we have optimism for the future. Well, even if they had gotten crushed in the first round, I still think that there would have been some optimism for the future there, Tim. This one from Darren: what a great finish for the Calgary Flames. Obviously incredibly exciting for Parekh and the other rookies, but also what a performance for another debut from Megan on TV. Didn't catch much of her call, but She's turned into a really good broadcaster myself. This also reads, such a sad loss of Greg Millen, but Megan did a wonderful job on TV. Olympic gold medalist and such a progressional, excited for next season. Will expectations be higher next season, and what does that do for the team? Mackenzie Wigger said expectations should be higher. I don't know how they're going to go out and make this team better. Like I said, they've got a ton of cap room. They have picks that they can use. They've got a lot of wingers. They need some more centermen. But at the same time, they still have Kadri, Backlund, and Morgan Frost. So you still have those holes at least filled. And I do wonder how much Craig Conroy wants to tinker with what was a pretty impressive group all season long. Also, there was a great celebration of Greg Millen on the broadcast that I wasn't able to hear, but could kind of see it as his celebration of life was held earlier today. And that broadcast crew on TV has done a really fantastic job kind of fighting through a really terrible moment here late in the season. So wanted to hat tip them as well. We go down the hotline again to speak with Wedley as he joins the Flames Talk post game show. Hi, friend. How are you?
Not much, friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yes, I can't seem to escape you, apparently. Evening.
Sorry.
Or morning.
Sorry.
So, I know. I should be the one apologizing. Just kidding. No, it's cool. I'm glad you're getting this chance. It's nice to talk to Pat, too, and nice for him to get a break. So I actually, he was quite well. I listened to him a little bit when I was in the car doing my errands. He was actually pretty good as the color guy. So I'd like to hear him try that a bit more when Megan's busy or whatnot, right? So he did a really good job, I thought.
He's just a very good broadcaster overall. And he's been around this team and he's been around the sport for a long time. Yes, one of the best.
Definitely. I'm old enough to remember when 960 started and a young Pat Steinberg was on after Kerr. So I've been there since day one with that guy, so it really makes the city and the station proud. But So this call is going to be a bit more upbeat than the last call, because last call, well, I was at the game, and, you know, the disappointment of the Anaheim can't hold 20 seconds, and then, of course, I made the mistake going on social media. Lovely people in there. We'll leave it at that. They don't like positive Wedley, and I don't care. I'm like George. I'm an OG fan from... Well, I was 8 years old, so I've seen it all. I've seen all the heartbreak. I know about murky middle and draft picks and so on and so on. But honestly, this year will go as one of the, as a fan, not talking about playoffs and where they did not get in, and not just, it was fun. It was honestly fun. The world is crazy enough as it is. This was a nice distraction year, and from training camp, well, actually before that, the tragedy, unfortunately, of Johnny. But from the fans and putting all their flowers on the, what's it called, the stairs there, and the great tribute they did for that, onwards, this team said, and people were laughing. I remember. I know what social media said about them and what a lot of the people were saying. They had them at the bottom. Does it suck? Yes. Murky middle, whatever you want to call it. They missed by 1 point, and how many games they should have won but didn't win, and all that other fun stuff. Yeah, I get all of that. I fully understand that. But honestly, you can build from seasons like this. Mm-hmm. This, to me, this is the real year one of Craig Conroy. Last year, he had to get rid of all the players that didn't want to be here. But this is the official year one. And for a year one, not too bad, if you ask me. A lot of great stories. I don't understand the folks that don't like Wolf, but you're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to mine. I think the kid has a lot of potential. He's 23. He was a seventh-round draft pick. Why people dump on him, I don't know. But I think, for now, we have our goalie of the future. Zane Parekh, I've never seen him play in the junior, so from the little I saw today, there's something there, and he's 19. If we have our stud D-men, that's a start.
Yep.
And then these other guys, you know, like brothers Brustevich, obviously not every one of them is going to make it, but we'll see. We'll see that the potential, the cupboards aren't barren here. Even though we don't have those top picks, which we need to get studs, I fully get it. Our scouting staff has really done people are still raving about our draft we just had.
Mm-hmm.
I keep preaching patience. People don't want to listen to me. That's fine. Do what you want to do. Sometimes people change their opinion game to game, but to me, the future is bright. I like what we had. We still got draft picks coming. We still got a lot of cap space. I know some of these RFAs will take us out some of that, but as a Flames fan, like I said, I'm going to be 45 this year. I'm excited. I think finally we might be able to steer out of those murky middle waters. It might take a couple more seasons, but I think finally we're in a direction towards that, right? Like, I don't know. What's your opinion? Like, I know you cover these guys. Like, what about you? Like, overall, how would you sum up this season? Because obviously people are calling it a failure and some are not, but yeah, I don't think it was a failure.
No. I think when you lose and all your players get used to losing, that's when you start calling it a failure, especially in a year where there isn't even really like that. Like, I'm sure that Schaefer is going to be a great player and Misa and all of these guys, but at the same time, it's not like Gavin McKenna next year, right? Like, it's a little bit different. I think that there was a lot that needed to be done as far as fixing the culture around this team, and they took that a really long way. And there's a lot of young players that I'm really excited about. Matt Coronato and Dustin Wolf are at the very front of the line there. And I think it's going to be hard for this team to tank, just with the young players that they've already got coming up through the organization, and they're continuing to get more, and they're going to continue to draft well, hopefully, coming off that really good draft last year. So I don't know. I understand why people say you have to go out and you have to get the superstar, because they look up north and Connor McDavid, and you always hear about Toronto and Austin Matthews and all that type of stuff. But at the same time, it's not always easy. And when you can also have the Buffalo Sabres, right? You can be the Detroit Red Wings, right? You can be these teams that were just crap forever and never really ended up being anybody. And there's other teams that people will point to, and they just doesn't make sense. So every team situation is a little bit different.
Exactly. And even with the new format, like the year they, like, how many drafts did they have before they got McDavid? And they weren't even the worst team that year. We could be the worst team ever. That doesn't mean automatically Gavin McKenna comes here.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not the NFL.
Yeah. No, it's not. So there's no guarantees. We could be the worst team in the world next year, and someone behind us could get him, right? Yeah. Knowing our luck, but there's no, you got to try. You got to. If it ends up being one of those years, it ends up being one of those years.
Exactly.
So be it, right?
Exactly.
That's how I look at it. It's like, I'm happy.
So the Devils got Nico Hischier.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's lots of examples of bottom teams jumping up, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just glad they just got the culture straight. That's fine. Analytics people can make fun of me. They don't believe in that stuff, but I do. And for these young guys like Wolf and Coronato learning from Backlund and Kadri, this is what's acceptable. This is where you need to get to, right?
Yeah.
I think there's some value to that myself. But anyways, I took up a lot of time last time, so I'm going to cut it short, let you get to other callers. But thank you to everybody as well on 960. I hope you got all the regulars like Robert and Sylvia and Adnan. Like I told Pat, I had no idea he's from where my parents are from, and there was a time I wanted to get into broadcasting, but I changed my mind. So I'm hoping, because he can take it to that as far as he can and make the people of Kerala, where he's from and my parents are from, as far as possible, because that's a great kid. I'm glad I ran into him by fluke. I had no idea, so that's pretty cool. And all the other regulars, thank you. We may not always agree. Thank you for your opinions, and at least we keep it respectful. And I will see you in some. I work mostly morning, so we will catch up in the morning show one of these days. So,
yep, I agree. Oh, no prizes for you, though. Thanks for calling in, Wedley. Appreciate you, man.
One quick thing about Brad. I appreciate his offer, but I'm not a golf guy. Brad in Vegas, so I will try to win my prize the hard way. So I really do appreciate it. So he should take up that golf game with you, but I despise golf, so I would be the worst person to go with you guys. But I do appreciate that, and I hope he does beat you guys. But anyways, I will get my prize.
I'll tell that to Brad next time he calls us unsolicited.
Thank you. I feel so bad because he keeps bringing that up. I'm like, no, dude, I hate golf.
This is great. This is good. This is going to continue the storyline. Thank you, Wedley. Have a great night, man. Appreciate you.
Night.
Yeah, cheers.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
There you go. That is our pal, Wedley. A couple more calls here real quick. But first, Bob, let's go rookies. Awesome start for both Morton and Perrette, getting their first NHL goals in their first NHL games. Darth Vladar was incredible. Still a mystery whether he resigns this summer, but hope he does. Hope LA shakes off this loss and sweeps Edmonton in four. I think this is their year. See you guys next season. Thanks for all your hard work. And I'm really hoping they also get rid of those pesky Oilers this year. I think they're pretty good shape to do it. They should have scored a few more goals on the power play tonight, the LA Kings. But Dan Vladar said no. Ella from Okotoks. Wow, what a game. What a season. Breaks my heart. This team finished with 96 points and didn't make the playoffs, but the future couldn't be more bright. This team does not fail to entertain, and the culture that the veterans and coach have built cannot be understated. The young guys are so promising. Gonna miss this team. Go Flames, go. Thanks for a great season to all the Sportsnet media. Let's go down the guest hotline once again, and Andre joins us on Flames Talk postgame. Good evening, Andre. How's it going?
Ow!
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I feel like a kid. Hunter Bichette, of course.
Mm-hmm.
From Kitchener Rangers, and I'm blind. I lost my passion of hockey 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And through Mark Farwell on the ice, I won the passion back. And I've been listening to all Canadians' teams that we have. And I'm so happy that Hunter is playing with you guys, because this young man is solid. He has a great slap shot. He can read plays. And I'm so honored that tonight was his first game with you guys. And, it's just, he's going to be a superstar. I truly believe it.
Did you say you were from Kitchener, Andre?
Yeah.
So you listen to the Rangers games out there?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a pretty good Kitchener Ranger, hey?
Oh, he's just not – just like I heard the broadcaster talk a lot about Ontario players, and there's a lot of great talent right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Calgary's missing centers. Like, even the team that should not be made, La London Knights, they have – the Windsor Spitfire that we're playing right now,
uh-huh.
Evergreen Tree – like, there's so much talent that hopefully we could get our hands and build. And I know Calgary, Montreal, and all that, we're building. Ottawa, we're building, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels good to see these players from Ontario, Quebec, wherever it is, that I'm learning from broadcaster and through you guys, because I'm blind at 95%, and growing through the hockey. Yeah, that's been there for 100 years over, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I appreciate you calling in because, that's an interesting note for sure.
I have to say also, the team that should not score, like Toronto Maple Leaf, tonight, even if the game wasn't important, they still came back and they showed that we need momentum to get in the playoff, and they showed that tonight. So they should feel good about that. And today, Calgary won, and Los Angeles are in the playoff, right?
Yeah.
And they lost. So they're going to playoff with shoulders down. And Calgary is going up with shoulders up for next year, like you guys were saying.
Yeah, like it's just up from here. They continued to fight until the very end. They got absolutely zero help on the out-of-town scoreboard. I think it would have been fun to see them sneak into the playoffs and try and take on a heavyweight like Vegas or like Winnipeg, but unfortunately, that's just not how it goes. And at the same time, you just got to continue to kind of push forward and hope that you can build on this season next year.
Look at the positive, you know, like, what's his name, Menard,
Bedard?
Bedard with a B, okay, yeah, he did great.
Oh, the Russian forward tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, Aydar Sunyaev.
No, who was in net for the Calgary tonight?
Oh, Vladar, sorry, yeah, the netminder, yeah. Yeah, well, he's a UFA, so we'll see if he comes back or not.
Yeah. So that was another great thing that he did, you know, 5-1, mm-hmm. like, he almost had a shutout. He must feel great about it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going into the offseason feeling pretty good.
Well, I just want to say again, you know, Hunter, that from here to there, we're very proud of him. And a lot of people are going to be talking about it. And congratulations to you guys. You have a great young man in front of you. Take care, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you for calling in, Andre. And hopefully Hunter can make some hay in the playoffs with the AHL Wranglers, because I assume he will be sent back to the Wranglers. They wrap up their regular season this weekend, and still to be determined who their first-round opponent is. But he'll get to play in some playoff hockey down in the AHL as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a great night, Andre. Thanks for calling, man.
Cheers, my friend.
There you go. A couple more texts before we hit our first break. We do have some phone call, some callers on the line as well that I do want to get to. This text is from Jason in Kelowna. That was a fun season. When you think of finishing ninth, that's often disappointing, but it feels different this time. The culture that has been built, the emergence of young players like Wolf, Zeri, and Coronado, watching young players in tonight's game, having two first-round picks this year, the future sure is bright, and I'm excited for October. Thank you, Matt, and thank you to Pat for everything Flames this year. Hey guys, great season. Thanks for all the coverage. Do you guys know if any of the Flames have been confirmed to play for their respective countries in the World Championships? This from Justin in Leduc, wondering about Uyghur for Team Canada. I believe that they will talk about that Saturday when they speak to the media next. Nothing has been confirmed yet. It's a little bit early. You typically don't talk about that before the regular season has come to an end, but I'm sure that there's a whole bunch of guys that have been asked. Uyghur for Canada. I wonder about Kadri for Canada. Coronado for the Americans. Dustin Wolf for the Americans. Maybe even Kevin Ball for Canada. Rasmus Andersson for Sweden, although he's been injured at the end of the year here. Adam Klapka with Czechia is an interesting one, although he did have to leave this game with injury, but that'll be something that we typically look for on the next day, the Saturday. This one says from Dylan in Deer Run, great year from this team. They truly never quit and fought hard until the final game. Most years, 96 points would get you into the playoffs. Makes you think if only they could have closed out that game against the Ducks last week. The future looks bright with Wolf in the crease, and Preck looks ready for the National League. In Connie, we trust. And we'll end with this one before a break from Dylan and Revy. Happy to have Marty Rose in the final post-game show. Wish you were still on Flames Talk. I do miss working with Pat every day. He's such a good coworker. How about the confidence to sneak in that open into the open slot and have the hands to deflect that one? I was also impressed with Zane and Hunter, specifically how aggressive they were playing their man in the defensive zone. Not even physically, just attacking them. Morton could surprise some people and replace Rooney next year. I think he does. I guess Kirkland might as well, but he's a UFA. Rare to have an exciting game, 82 like that. How do you think they go about making room for some more youth? I'm fascinated to see how much they do, if they're very active, if they're not very active. We'll see. Be well, Maddie. Thankfully, you don't have to deal with Russick tomorrow. I'm very thankful, especially because we're going to be up late as we continue on the Flames Talk postgame show. We do have to take a break around the corner. We are going to hear a little bit of postgame audio as Sam Morton and Zane Parikh both spoke after the game. We will hear from Zane Parikh after the break. And we have one open line open. Scott, Tony, Parsons, Anand, we will get to all of you and we'll continue to read your texts. This is the Flames Talk postgame show. It's on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back inside the Groundworks downtown studio. My name is Matt Rose as we are closing it down here. The Flames take a 5-1 win in their final game of the regular season. They're going to miss the playoffs, but we had a couple of moments where we saw some first goals for Sam Morton and Zane Parikh, and Idar Suneyev made his debut, as did Hunter Brustevich. So all in all, a fun season and a great end to the year. Let's go back to the Flames dressing room for Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furniture and upgrade like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Excuse me, let me try that sentence again. Replace your furniture with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Zane Parikh gets his first NHL goal, and he spoke to the media after the game.
Well, could you have drawn it up? Could you have drawn it up any better? You factor everything in.
No, not one bit. I mean, I think that's as good as it gets. You know, I'm just thankful for the boys for you know, being so kind and being so open to me, and that was awesome.
How about just the fact that everybody got to play a part in it, right? Like the four of you, a couple of you score. I mean, and Michael, Naz, just an all-around night.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was going, and you know, I think they tied a NHL record, and you know, obviously that's not the record you want to be a part of, but you know, back said, you know, to get going tonight, and you know, we did. I thought we were great tonight.
What'd you say to Coleman when you ran him over?
I honestly like didn't even think about the goal. I just started looking at Colsey, and I was like, I swore, I'm like I don't know, I'm like, sorry, Colsey. I'm like, yeah, I didn't know what to do, honestly.
Was he giving it to you?
No, he wasn't. It was a weird, little awkward situation.
Maybe the first hit thrown on the first NHL goal at the same time.
Yeah, I wonder if I get credited for the hit and the goal. I think that's I don't know. I don't know how that works.
What was the feeling as the game goes on, and maybe you start to feel a little more comfortable, or did it come right away?
I think it came right away. Honestly, my first, I thought I felt comfortable right away, and you know, I thought I'd have a lot of nerves going into this game, and you know, I really didn't. I didn't feel anything. You know, just a lot of adrenaline was pumping through me, and you know, that helped.
Who do you dedicate this game to?
You know, everyone that's helped me get here, and you know, there's so many people to list off, but you know, my parents and my brothers especially. I mean, those guys are my support group, and you know, they support me through every decision and you know, every game, and you know, I don't think my mom and dad have missed too many games even in junior this year.
Lots of Saginaw support there in the crowd too. Obviously, your brothers are wearing the Saginaw jersey, but you know, what does that mean to have some of the spirit there alongside?
Yeah, you know, my GM was here, Dave Drinkel, and my owner as well, Dick Garber. And, you know, those guys have been such great mentors to me. And, you know, for an owner, Dick is really involved around the team and, you know, trying to guide you and all sorts of things. So, just an unreal person there, and obviously my GM was here tonight, and I think if I went to a different club, I wouldn't be the player I am today. So a lot of credit goes to those guys for the way they've developed me, and obviously my coach, Chris Ozzer.
How much does this fire you up for the off season ahead?
Yeah, a lot. You know, I got my first taste of it, and you know, obviously I got to get a little bigger and a little stronger and quicker and all those things, and really excited to see how I come back.
Zane Parikh, and you love to hear all the points that he came out with there. That is our visit from the Flames locker room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. As we start to wrap up here on the Flames Talk postgame show, we got plenty of calls that we still need to get to. We'll start with Scott, as Scott joins us now down the line. Scotty, welcome to the postgame show. How are you doing this evening?
Excellent. I heard that one Matt Rose was hosting, so I had to make my first call to this show. Thank you so much for doing it. Thanks for all you guys for bringing it. And it was funny that the guy before me was blind, because I'm blind, and I have learned just how important good play-by-play is. And so it's really appreciated.
This is Scott in Yorkton.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my man. Thank you very much for calling in tonight. What did you think of the game this evening?
Problem. You know what? It was pretty awesome. I mean, I mean, we were all so disappointed the other night. And even, you know, yesterday it was kind of bummed. But this morning, you know, with the idea that all these four guys are coming in to play, you know, there's a little excitement. And then they come in and Parikh and Morton score. You know, it just kind of, It's a nice way to end, kind of take some of the sting away from it. One of the things I was going to ask about, because I know Parikh was coming in and there was a lot of buzz around him, but Brstevich had a lot of buzz last year, and I know that things have been a little different with the Wranglers this year. How did he look tonight, and how are we thinking about him possibly making a jump up?
I don't know if he's going to be a day one type of guy next year, especially with how this team looks down the right side with Uyghur, with Anderson, although his status is certainly up in the air. And then they did extend Parikh. Miramanov is right-handed as well. I could see him starting off the year in the AHL and being one of those guys that kind of bounces in between the NHL and AHL when they need a call up, especially on that right side. He's got some good offensive instincts. He had more than 30 points. He played 69 games down in the AHL this year. He's going to get a chance to go to the postseason with that team as well. So there's a lot to like. It's a different player, right? He's got a little bit more of a rounded game than Zane Parekh, I would say. He worked really hard on his defensive game down with the Wranglers this year. He does a good job of avoiding pressure on the forecheck. He can still put up points offensively. Like we heard from Andre, really likes the slap shot that he has and can be like a second power play quarterback when Zane Parekh is the quarterback for your first power play.
Well, and I know that there are two different types of players. I mean, it was funny to hear Brustevich saying that he wanted to keep his game simple, which is not correct. So it was kind of nice because that's one of those things that sometimes you just need to stay close to home and not go too far out of the way to make plays that maybe you aren't supposed to be making. I think we've heard people mention that before. But yeah, I heard good things about his defensive play tonight from the broadcasters. And so that was pretty cool too. And then, yeah, the other guys, I'm excited to see what's going to happen next year. Sounds like Nazem Kadri won the bet on who is going to score more goals, him or Huberto.
Someone pointed it out on the text line as well. Nazem Kadri is 15th all-time for goals in his age 34 season with 35 this year, and talked
really?
About it a little bit earlier on. Yes, and it's a very big tie, but he's tied for 18th in goals across the entire NHL. Like, he's tied with guys like Jason Robertson, Kevin Fiala, who we saw today. He had 35 goals. A really, really impressive showing for Nazem Kadri. He's top 25 in goals scored this entire season.
That's so awesome. I'm super pumped that so many people are having positive calls. I don't like to listen to these shows when people get super negative because, you know, it doesn't really do anything. I like to see people being positive. It doesn't mean that you have to whitewash, you know, bad stuff, but it's been pretty encouraging hearing that. So thanks again, Matt. You guys are the best. You're the best. And I look forward to hearing you in the morning show again.
Take care, Scott. Not tomorrow. I refuse to go in after being here until midnight. But Monday I will be back in, and I will be doing the Wranglers and the Hitmen tomorrow because I just can't get enough.
Sounds good.
Take care, Scott. Yeah, appreciate it. That is Scott in Yorkton, and we always appreciate when he chimes in, not only here on the Flames Talk postgame show, but also on the big show with Russick and Rose. Let's go to Tony here next. Before Tony, just want to read this text from Ash. Hey, Matty, this is Ash. I don't think I've seen a single Flames goal this season that involved a tip by a defenseman until today's Parekh goal. Finally, the Flames season can be summed up with two words, 22 seconds. It's hard to believe, but the Flames would have officially made the playoffs had the Wild not tied the game versus the Ducks with 22 seconds left. That was heartbreaking, to say the least. Great point from Ash. Tony, welcome to the program. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Matt. How are you? How's it going, brother?
Beautiful day in paradise.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go a different way here. I'm disappointed.
Okay.
You know, well, whatever. They played okay tonight. But it was a nothing game, whatever. They did make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Same old story. Mm. Almost made it. In the middle. Didn't get a top 10 pick. You know, Matt, this team, what they need to do, they're never going to get a top 5 pick. That's not in their DNA.
So what are they going
to
do?
What they have to do is do offer sheets. Use these draft picks and sign offer sheets.
I like the idea of signing offer sheets. I think they're going to become something that's a lot more popular as we start to kind of move forward here in the new NHL with the bigger salary cap and teams are going to try and spend. There's obviously going to be some places you can try and take advantage of some groups for sure. The problem about the offer sheet is that the player has to almost initiate an offer sheet and has to want to go to another location as well. And I do think the Flames have come a long way in just a couple of years as far as turning themselves into maybe not the destination that you would get in a tax-free state with warm weather, but at the same time, kind of changing the culture from being a group that's constantly losing people into something a little bit different. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's something that Craig Conroy tries to explore throughout the course of the offseason.
Yeah, because you know what? They're not going to get rid of anyone because that's just what they do. Like, so they're going to keep playing, trying to go for eighth position in the playoffs.
Well, they're going to try and go for higher than eighth position.
Yeah.
They're going to try and build a team that can go higher.
Yeah, but Matt, you need more talent than this. Sorry to say you do.
Well, I agree with you, but I do think that you have some young talent that's already on the way. And this team tried to continue the window. Matthew Tkachuk wanted out. They had a couple of different options. They decided to go and get Huberto and Uyghur, and this is kind of the group that you have, and you're not going to be able to trade Huberto. You could trade Kadri, but at the same time, I think that there's a certain importance of having him around guys that are young, that are good players, like Coronado, like Wolf, like Zary, the list goes on, and Coleman and Backlund would fit right in that group as well. So even if you go down to the bottom five, saying, you don't always get a great player either.
No, I understand what you say. You still need the veteran presence, but there's some of them like you know, I've always liked Rasmus Anderson. You know, I'm a big fan of his, but I mean, I wouldn't re-sign him.
No, me neither. I agree.
Because, you know, he's 30 years old. Like, this is not, you know what I mean? You got the Uyghur, he's signed. Kadri's already signed. Huberto signed, so it's okay. But, I mean, there's no way I'd be signing anyone over 28 for on a long contract for the Flames right now. That's the way I look. And for Anderson, I think you might get a good return this summer, I'm hoping. But, I mean, like I understand what you're saying. You do need to keep some of these veterans to have a good culture in the dressing room and on the ice. But man, you know, like I said, I've been a Flames fan from the beginning. I was in my early 20s when they came to Calgary, and I've been a diehard fan. And I've tried to go not to cheer for him. I just can't. They're in my heart, so I cheer for him. I just get a little bit disappointed. That's all. You know what I mean?
I understand. There's top end players all over the NHL that just kind of drag their team through it. But you know, McDavid still hasn't won a Stanley Cup. They get in the playoffs, but he still hasn't won a Stanley Cup. And they've had two of the best players that they got at the top of the draft for the better part of a decade now, coming up on 10 years. So just because you get them doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win. But I understand the sentiment from the fans, but I also don't necessarily see a realistic way for them to do it now, especially because now they found a goalie, and it's one of the hardest things to do in the NHL. So you kind of have to try and just add around the outside, and you're probably going to see this team end up trying to be built a little bit more like the Winnipeg Jets versus the Edmonton Oilers. And both those teams have a chance to win the Stanley Cup this year, despite one of them being loaded with two superstars at the top and the other one just having an overall great team, including arguably the best line in hockey when Gabe Vilardi's healthy.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you hope like the Flames can hit on a couple of late draft picks. That happens. Look at Kucherov, you know, whatever.
Braden Point.
And you know what I mean? Maybe a good free agent sign. I wouldn't do it this summer, but, you know, in the future when you're more competitive. But, I mean, I guess that's the way they're going to have to build. But
I trust Craig Conroy. I don't think he sees it. Like, I think he understands as well that you need to add more talent to this team.
Yeah. Like, it just, I guess they could have, you know, like, you're at 22 seconds, they could have been in the playoffs. But who knows? It could be, you don't know anything. You know, I mean, they won some games they shouldn't have won either. So it is what it is, right? Yeah. So
Appreciate you calling in, Tony.
Yeah, you say hi to Pat for me, bud, and you take care, brother.
Thank you, sir. Have a great night. That is Tony, as we're continuing here on the Flames Talk post-game show. I'm going to close off the phone line there if we want to get one more in, maybe. But we got four callers still on the line here. Let's go to Parsons. Parsons, good evening. Thank you for joining the Flames Talk post-game show.
Mr. Rose, how are you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing well.
Did you enjoy the game tonight? Sorry, you go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. You also cover the Stamps too, correct?
Yep, sure do.
Okay, cool. I like it.
They're going to be better this year, man.
Yeah, you okay? Do you like the new QB?
I like their new QB. I like what they did in free agency. I like a lot of what they did this offseason. They took some things to heart and really changed that team over. And there's some questions. I'm wondering about their linebackers. I wonder about their offensive line. But we don't need to talk too much about the Stamps. We'll have plenty of offseason to do that.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. As for tonight, yeah, of course. I definitely liked it. I liked the new guys being injected in there. I thought Vladar had an outstanding game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. I think that with Vladar, I think he's going to stay.
Oh, why do you say that?
Well, I say that because if we're talking about opportunities for Vladar, if he's looking for a 1B situation, I'm not sure if there's a lot of opportunities out there for him for a 1B. I think he's pretty content here in Calgary. I think if we offer him the same contract, I think he'd be happy with that. What's your thoughts on that?
Perhaps. Like, I do wonder about some other teams as well. Like, if Anaheim decides to trade John Gibson, do they want Dan Vladar to kind of be the other guy for Lucas Dostal this year? Like, even the LA Kings, do they want someone like a Dan Vladar to replace a David Riddick? In San Jose, do they want someone a little bit more capable to be around Alexander Yaroslav Askarov, right? Like, there's a handful of different guys that I wonder about, that organizations that, but do any of those teams really feel like they're in a winning position? Does he really love playing here in Calgary? I think he does. So that'd be the other thing I wonder about.
Well, and if you're a Dan Vladar, like, do you want to go into that situation?
Exactly.
Right. I think he's pretty happy here. I think he knows his role and he plays it well. I expect him to be here next year.
All right. Put it down on pen.
I'm putting it down. I'm putting it, right now. Zane Parekh tonight and the young fellows, I thought they did well tonight. What did you think of Parekh tonight?
Thought he was great skating around out there. I love how he took that. Someone took a huge run at him in the second period, and he just bounced right up and got right back into the play, because guys are going to try and do that to him for the rest of his NHL career. I thought it was good to kind of get noted there. And as we heard from him post game, he's like, yeah, got to get bigger, got to get stronger, got to get quicker, all those types of things. But the way he sees the ice is special. Like, even on his goal, you're not going to see a whole lot of defensemen that, when they do that switch off with a forward at the point that are going to kind of attack through the slot, for the most part, they'll stay on the perimeter and be ready to kind of rip back on the back check in case something goes wrong. And instead, he goes for a fly through the slot, and he's able to tip that one home and get his first NHL goal. So a lot to like.
Yeah, and even going into the zone, and he knows it's a change off, he's like very crafty about getting it.
Yep.
And then going back to the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's insane, man.
Yeah.
let me ask you something.
Sure.
So we have six guys in the leadership group, quote unquote.
Put Lomberg in there. Make it seven.
Or seven. Who do you think's going? Because, and let me ask you, it's kind of a double-sided question, but like, who do you think do we need and don't need at this point with the leadership group?
Well, I think Backlund stays to finish out his contract. I think he'd like to finish his career as a member of the Calgary Flames, and I think that's totally fine. I think Blake Coleman plays probably at least one more year here as a member of the Calgary Flames, maybe chases a cup at the very end, but I also think he really likes living here in Calgary, so I wonder if he's just kind of runs out the rest of his contract here in town. I do wonder about Nazem Kadri, depending on how the next couple of seasons go. Like, if they do take a step back, then I start to wonder about him. But going into the next year, I'd be shocked if he's not a member of the Flames. The Huberto contract is kind of untradeable. I think Uyghur is probably the next captain of this team once Michael Backlund does decide to hang him up, if Uyghur is still here 3 or 4 years down the road. The one guy that I think everyone's wondering about is Rasmus Anderson, and that really depends on what the contract ask is when they get to July 1st and the Flames and Anderson can actually start talking about a contract.
He's on a very valuable deal. I know he almost won the green jacket this year at minus 38. But at the same time, this is a guy who's had three of his last 4 years have been very good years with the Calgary Flames, and people would like to add him, especially if it's for 1 year at $2.26 million or whatever it ends up being. So that would be the one guy that I wonder about.
What would be your cap on him?
My cap? Like that Neil Pionk deal that we saw today was fascinating to me. The term still scares me, but at the same time, I think that if Anderson hits the open market, he's going to get 5 or 6 years. Now, at the same time, I thought the same about Nazem Kadri, and he ended up signing with the Flames very late in the offseason that year. So he's had a really hard year, and I do wonder how that affects him going into free agency in this final year of his deal. But I'm just the way that things kind of went this year, and I'm interested to see kind of what type of injuries he's been dealing with for the course of the season. But this year has kind of made it a lot more difficult to think about a long-term extension with him.
My concern is next year with our the center.
Oh yeah.
Position. We'll have Kadri, who will be 35 eventually. Backlund, I think, will be 36, 37. We have Frost, and who knows? Does that concern you at all?
I think that they could use some more talent there. It depends on what their ultimate goal is last season. Like, you could run it back and have a very strong year nevertheless. I'm excited to see what Frost turns into. Like, he's a guy that has a lot of offensive talent to his game, and I do wonder about what getting away from John Tortorella and that Flyers organization can do for a guy, especially with an offseason. So I liked how Frost ended this year. He made the power play much better, and he wins draws. He's got good speed. He's not a total liability in the defensive zone. He fills a role that this team certainly needed. But that being said, they do need to address the center position long term, without a doubt.
Okay. And was Whitley saying that there's still some doubt out there about Wolf, like in terms of his
Haters are going to hate. It's fine.
Is that just Twitter stuff? Because I don't think that's like normal today's stuff.
I don't know many people who are like that. We get a few texts about it on the big show from time to time, but I just kind of shrug my shoulders. You know, there's people that think Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid isn't the best player in the NHL. There's people that don't like Sidney Crosby. Like, there are certain things that people just kind of get set on, and they're more than welcome to have their own opinion, even if it's wrong.
True. All right. Well, I'll sign off by saying this. Thanks for your guys' service all year. I know Pat's not here, but thank you, Matt, for filling in tonight. And Azam as well. He's a gem. Thank you for some of the regulars I like Nigel, Sylvia, some of the OGs, Robert, George, Tony, who are not, they're not afraid to talk their minds. Sometimes they go against the grain, and I like that, and I appreciate that about those guys. Other than that, man, on to next year.
Yes, sir, Parsons. Thanks for calling, man.
Cheers.
There you go. We got three more calls here on the Flames Talk post-game show before we say goodnight and put a bow on the 2024-25 season for the Calgary Flames. Anand is joining us next on the program. Tried to get him on a little bit earlier, but had a little phone issue. So I apologize. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for the redemption opportunity. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. And you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. First of all, I just want to get out some shout-outs out of the way, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I was at Sportsnet 960 studio a couple months ago doing my practicum and internship. So I want to thank you, George Resick, Patrick Duma, GVP, Connor, Grant Stahl, Derek Wills, Pat Samber, Megan Mickelson, Sean Azam, Colton, Logan, Aaron Burris, Cam, and all of you for an amazing Flame season. And thank you for having me as a Sportsnet 960 intern and also regular callers like Robert, George, Eugenio, Bradley Parsons, and Dan as well. All of you, thank you so much for having me as a what you call regular caller to Sportsnet 960 and making my second year or so Flame season memorable.
Appreciate it. I'm pretty sure you named even people at the station that I don't know. So very well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. I'll just first ask you quickly, what did you think of tonight's game? I think it was overall exciting. Sam Walton had his first NHL goal, Zane Perrick as well. And then a very nice offensive burst, which we haven't seen much regularly this season. What did you think of tonight's game?
Thought it was fun, man. I thought the guys looked like they were enjoying themselves. Obviously, they were pretty devastated about how the season ended, but it was nice to have one final game with some positivity to it. Like, I would way rather have this as your game 82 than whatever the hell they were doing in Boston and New York with the Rangers, like, and just some awful, awful showings. Like, even teams closer in the Pacific Division, like, the way the Flames season ended was way better than what happened with the Vancouver Canucks this year, so... Full marks to everybody who kind of went out there, continued to play, and obviously had some great showings for the young guys.
Yeah, 100%. Wish that 21-second difference that happened out of time scoreboard, wish it didn't end that way. But like you said, a lot of positive. I'll ask you a few rapid-fire questions, and then I'll let you get to other callers.
Okay, let's do it.
So who was your best Flames forward this season so far? Who would you pick?
Nazem Kadri. Just the most consistent player all season long.
Yeah, 100%. Getting to 35 goals even tonight with two goals. That was amazing. Next one, best Flames defenseman this season?
Mackenzie Weegar. Hard to argue.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, consistent top minutes. Always showing up hard and really defending well. And final one, any positive story or moment that you have that you want to share this season you have had so far?
Oh, man, any positive moment that I wanted to share from the season? There's nothing that really comes to mind right off the top of my head. That one's not the same as the other two. That one, those two were softballs. I just thought that this year kind of turned right. Last year was so much about talking about guys leaving and where are they going to go, and everyone wants to leave the organization, and just the entire thing turning a corner from, you know, you had the showing of Kirkland, Matt Coronato becoming a regular NHLer, Dustin Wolf becoming a regular NHLer, Huberdeau finding his game, Mackenzie Weegar, you know, becoming a true leader on this group. Then the addition of Ryan Lomberg cannot be understated in kind of what he was able to bring to that locker room all season long. So there were a lot of positives in a season that was kind of bookended by tragedy, right? You have the Johnny Gaudreau thing at the start. Losing Greg Millen at the end of the year was just crushing and surprising. But at the same time, you kind of look back on some moments during the season that were there will be some fond memories from this season as well.
Yeah, 100% well said. And do you have any expectations or maybe any hot takes for next season coming up?
Oh, you want a hot take. Zane Perrec plays every game, is in the Calder race with... how about this? So this year it's going to be two players in the Calder race from the Flames and from the Montreal Canadiens. Next year, you will also have two players vying for the Calder from the Flames and the Canadiens. It will be Demidov and it will be Zane Perrec. Does that work for you?
Oh, yeah. That works totally fine for me.
Perfect. Thanks for calling pal.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it. Have a good night. And my classes finish next week, so I'll tune into the big show in the morning as well.
Oh, good, good, good. And good luck with everything going with your broadcasting career, too, hey?
Yeah, thank you so much, Matt. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.
You bet. All right, we got two more calls here on the Flames Talk post-game show. Let's go to Bill. Bill, good evening. How are you?
I am very great. It's good to see that the young guns or the new young guns are stepping up for the team. And, of course, it was in Los Angeles where the LA Forum used to be.
Yes, it was. Now it's Crypto.com Arena. Do you do a lot of crypto, Bill?
No.
Oh, okay. No, that makes sense. What did you make of the game tonight?
I listen to it. I don't watch it. I'm out in BC, so how I keep in hockey is hockey talk that is broadcasted by your channel.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you do that.
And I used to listen, like, I'm a long, long time Flames fan, going back to their first season in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
I got tired of watching the Leafs.
Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah, I'm already tired of watching the Leafs.
So, basically, I knew the first round draft pick that played for the Medicine Hat Tigers that went to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come to, who turned out to be a fabulous player. But on the old hockey talk, right, with John Henderson.
Sure.
Okay, there used to be a section called trivia.
Yeah.
And I miss that so much.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't do trivia very much anymore on the station because everyone has cell phones and they just cheat at trivia, so I don't even bother.
Well, let's go at it because I'm the last caller.
I got one more call after you, but by all means, fire away.
Who was the Calgary Flames' first round pick and how many seasons did he play when the first Calgary Flames arrived from Atlanta?
I have no idea, Bill. Who was it?
Kevin LaValle.
How many seasons did he play?
I think only two.
Okay, great. Any thoughts on the season this year, Bill?
It's all looking bright. All they need is a couple of right-handed centermen.
Perfect. Love it. Anything else on the season as a whole before I let you go?
I'm looking forward to the possibility of the Flames obtaining Shane Wright by trading a few players from the Flames.
That's an interesting call. I don't know if the Kraken are going to move them quite easily, and I don't know if it solves all your problems, but I like the way you think, Bill. Let's get aggressive here.
Yes, exactly. And thank you for the wonderful job that you do on Calgary Sports. I'm also a Stampeder fan.
Oh, I appreciate that, Bill. I'm looking forward to the Stamp season. Once I get through the Hitmen and the Wrangler seasons, it'll be all Stamps. Training camp's like less than a month away.
Thanks for having me on and looking forward till next year.
Thank you very much, Bill. Appreciate you calling in. Let's wrap it up. The last caller of the Flames Talk post-game show, the last edition of the season. We go to Dave. Good evening, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't be disappointed with the season because nobody, I don't think anybody picked them to finish any more than maybe the bottom third of the whole conference. So they did really, really well.
They pushed, man. They did their best. I don't think you can argue with that.
Yeah, just a few things. Like, I think it'd be best to Dan Bedard this day. Let's see. Like you were saying, I can see him, if LA needed a backup, yeah, but why would he want to go to a team like Anaheim or San Jose? I mean, you want to be with a decent team, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. It kind of sucks because I think Anaheim and San Jose are going to be an absolute handful over the next 4 or 5 years. But at the same time, this isn't a team that's ever really been in a position to do that. You really have to bottom out. You really have to be bad for a few years. And it's just not in the cards.
Yeah, because I don't know why. Personally, I think the Flames are going to be a solid contender with it. Maybe even next year, but within 2 or 3 years, they're going to be in the top 3 or 4, I think, in the conference.
That's bold. That's extremely bold. But I would love to see it.
But when you think of it, what, 6 more wins or something, they would have been ahead of L.A.?
Yeah, but to say they'd be top 3 or 4 in the conference, like there's a complete difference between being where L.A. is and being like up there with Colorado and Vegas and you know.
Yeah, well, if you were in L.A. position, you'd be the number 4 in the conference, wouldn't you? Something like that.
I guess. Yeah. You know what? You're very right there. You're fair. Yeah, okay, fair on your point. But I would see them not in that top tier in the Western Conference in a couple of years. But I think they could be in that same area where LA is. Now, at the same time, do you think LA has a chance to win the Stanley Cup this year?
Yeah, I don't know how they do so well at home. But, I mean, I mean, guess the goalie got really good, but I never thought Kemper was that great of a goalie.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Oh, you said Kemper, good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's fine. We'll see how he does in the playoffs.
Good, but, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Wolf's better than him right now, even.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Well, you got a corners down there in Wolf, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would watch for Sanderson. I got a sneaky feeling that he was maybe 80% or something, man.
Yeah, I agree.
He's so much on a negative, but he's on that tentative kill most of the time, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think he blocked a ton of shots, right? And there's a few of them that he had to go down the tunnel for, and you got to wonder how many of those are really still hurting him.
Yeah, and when Kirkland gets healthy, what position does he play?
Well, he's a UFA. He's a center. I don't know where he's going to end up playing.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, he could develop into a really good, you know, top 10 center, I think, in the league. Because the way he played was really good.
We'll see.
It depends on what talents you got on your wings. That also makes a huge difference. But
yeah,
I mean, I can't see Mazen Carter be any better, you know, any worse than being a solid number two center. No, even if they get a number one, because he's really good.
Yeah, yeah, he had a good season until he got hurt. I think Kirkland's probably like at max like a fourth line center, maybe a third line guy. But you know.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, when you look at I've been a long time. Because, like, say, you look at the old Canadians when they were great in the 70s there. I mean, they had, before it shut, but I mean, Lemieux was just a little bit above average center. That was it. But, you know, between the three of them, you know, all you need is, you know, two good guys and one that is a bit above average, and you got a good line.
Future is bright, Dave. Future is bright. Appreciate you calling tonight.
You know, if it's not 2 years, you know, three down the road, I mean, I can't see them being any worse than the top six in the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're going to push. They're going to push, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, what's really ironic, there is only 14 teams that are better than them this year, and two teams that are worse than them that are in the playoffs.
If it was the CFL, they'd be going to play against the Washington Capitals.
They got a better record than Montreal point-wise, I think.
That's what I mean. Like they would have passed the Canadiens, and they would, if you know what, don't worry about it, David. It's okay. Yeah. Anything else you wanted to add before we shut it down?
Well, I mean, and since Markson went to Jersey, I mean, this year they're even better than Jersey, so.
Yep, 100%. All right, Dave, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, I'm good. And hopefully the Stanford Riders do real good this season, because those are the two best teams in the league, I think.
Yep. Yeah. We'll see how they do. I appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah, good night, bye.
There you go. That's Dave. All right, that's it for Flames Talk post-game show. If you called in tonight, I really appreciate you. If you called in all season, I really appreciate you. If you texted in and we didn't get to your text, I really appreciate you. Awesome. You've done a great job all season long. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you, too.
Yeah. Great job. See you tomorrow at the Dome. Hitman Game 5. The season has come to an end. Last year, at this point of the season, it was a lot of a different feeling. It was kind of like something bad was in your mouth and you just couldn't spit it out fast enough. This year has felt very different. There's been a different vibe around the team, and it was actually fun to watch this group over the course of the year. And you kept thinking month after month after month, they can't keep doing this. They can't keep hanging around. They're going to drop down. And this group just refused to do so. And that made them so easy to cheer for. So if you were one of the people that enjoyed the ride with us, thank you so much for listening. We already look forward to what we're going to do next season here with the Calgary Flames broadcast on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Huge thanks to Derek Wills. Huge thanks to Megan Mickelson. Our sales team would do a great job making sure that we're cashing some checks on this broadcast as well. Everyone at the Flames who just does an outstanding job. Peter Hanlon, Sean Kelso, the entire group doing the PR there. Everybody there just makes it so much fun to kind of work around this team. So appreciate everybody for listening. Appreciate everybody for calling. Go Flames, go. We'll talk to you guys next season. This has been the Flames Talk post-game show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.